Previously on the Loop Effect.
I'm obviously upset, scared, exhausted and injured.
My son, wait. It's Matthias. It's hurt. Come and help.
Hey, is this Gunnar Granit's house?
We do know that he lived in Kungsberger, don't we?
She goes, yeah, he's my uncle.
He's your uncle? You said you lived on your own.
I do. He hasn't been here for ages.
Can I have been sketching her portrait while I'm doing this?
Yes, go on then.
Yeah, I show her the portrait.
Yeah, she quite likes that. And she goes, oh, all right, here's some money to get the bloody fairy.
Two successes in my fault all. Not bad for an 11-year-old.
Not bad, no. Right, creeping through. Heading up towards the back of the boat. The Loop Effect. Tales from the Loop actual play from RPGGods.org and FictionSoup.org. The team behind the Coriolis Effect. Oh, actually, now we're inside. Can we tell which direction the hum of machinery is coming from?
It's coming from
the back of the boat. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's where we're heading anyway.
Okay. Right. So you get to the sort of the back end of the ship here, and there's a ladder going up with a little hatch.
And the hatch is closed.
The hatch is closed.
You're the smallest. You go up first.
Oh, how does that work?
I have got leadership skill.
But leadership, telling someone else to go first.
Gives...
It actually, I should be right behind you.
I wanted to read about the leadership skill. And it might... So this ability to make your friends work together, to help them focus on a task at hand in difficult situations, to soothe them when they're scared or confused. If you have time with the other kids, you may inspire and prepare them for a difficult situation. You may roll to overcome trouble, and your successes become a dice pool. You see the table below. You may, in upcoming scenes, distribute bonus dice to other kids when they roll to overcome troubles, but only if they do as you say. Yeah. You cannot give these dice to yourself. So can we try that, mechanic?
We certainly can.
My lead is heart plus one, and my heart is three, so that's four dice.
Okay.
I have one, so I get two dice to spend.
Pool of two dice.
So.
So basically, if you do what he says, you can draw from that pool.
Yeah. Well, I get to appoint them to any of the kids in my gang. Anyway. You've got two bonus dice, mate.
Yeah. You haven't got a very big gang. It's only me. I don't like you very much.
Yeah, but you still can't stop doing what I say. Oh, and also, I can heal when you had your one condition. I could have just spent a bit of time with you.
Yeah.
Talking you through it and healed with your condition.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's it. You don't need to roll lead again, do you? So
No. Those two dice just...
You've now given the
I think we should have done it probably before starting the scene, as
yeah,
it were.
But... Yes. So it's just once per scene, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't say, but would be a bit poor if
I think
wasn't.
I think we're meant to do a scene where I say, this is what we're going to do!
Yeah.
We're going to go to this place.
You got the ladder first.
Yeah, so that's what he said.
Okay.
So then I guess you could use those bonus dice either both at the same time or one at a time.
Yeah.
In theory, can you
add them after you've rolled?
You rolled, just what I was just checking to see about that.
If you roll and fail, can you say, all right, now I'm going to use that? Or do you have to add it before you roll?
Yeah, no, because I think I have to give them to you. You may, in the upcoming scene, distribute bonus dice to the other kids when they roll to overcome troubles, not after they've rolled to overcome troubles.
But only if they do as you say. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it's a...
So go up that ladder and get a bonus dice on your sneak roll or whatever.
Okay, yep. It's like, go up that ladder and have us nose around. Here, have a dice. Okay, so Tony, what are you doing?
I'm going up the ladder to the hatch.
And have a nose around.
Have a nose around, yeah. So can it... Does it have like a... Like a wheel or something? Do I open it and unlock it? Yep. Or can you just push it?
There is a wheel thing on it. But I think the hatch itself is not completely shut. So you just need to open it.
Okay. Can I just... If it's not completely shut, is there enough space for me to just peek through before I open it?
It's only a... Not really. You can't really...
Okay, so I'll see if I can push the hatch open then.
Are you going to do this sneakily?
I think I will try and do this sneakily, yes, at this stage.
Okay, so through dice plus
There's
your
two
bonus.
People standing there, and you go between their feet, you go.
Oh, hello. So this is my sneak roll, yes.
And you get a bonus die from Matthew?
Or two.
Well, do I want to use those?
Well,
now?
You allocate the dice. Yeah. So you decide.
Or
when
do you want to save them for?
I'll save them if you're feeling confident about sneaking.
Well, no, four dice. So not
four dice. You're going to get three successes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not.
Clang.
So you do it like you do it really slowly, and it's like, oh, excellent. This is really quiet, and then it reaches a point where it then just
clang.
Clang.
It reverberates around the entire ship for 5 minutes.
So this hatch has come up into the bridge of the Magnetrine ship. So this is the front of the windows. There's obviously sort of control panels, a couple of big chairs. There's another door here that leads into storeroom.
Whereabouts is the hatch in this?
The hatch is there, and it's gone like that. So you come up and you're sort of facing that way, yeah. Naturally. In the middle, there's some very weird contraption with lots and lots of wires and stuff, cables sticking into and out of it. It's also got many, many bird feeders on it. And the machine looks a bit like an old arcade game with blinking lights and long metallic arms all around it.
But it got bird feeders hanging off it.
Bird feeders all over it.
And there's lots of birds feeding.
There are hundreds of birds feeding here. Just about every surface here is covered by bird droppings. Dead birds on the floor. There's tools lying around. But this machine is humming away, obviously powered by some generator. This is what you can hear that's making all the noise. This room is actually quite warm because of the energy, the heat being driven from this strange machine. And there's hundreds of birds in here, or maybe 100 little birds in here. There are gaps in the structure where the birds are sort of squeezing in and out.
And is it mostly all little birds? No kind of.
No very big birds in here that you can see.
Right.
Are the birds, any of the birds taking an interest in me now that I've very sneakily opened this hatch?
No, they seem to be flocking around the machine.
Okay, I'm going to kind of climb up and then just kind of step into the corner just to have another look around.
Yeah,
okay. I'll follow him up.
Okay, fine. Where are you going to... What are you doing, Matthew, when you come up?
Well, I'm intrigued by this machine.
Okay.
Can I make a roll to comprehend it, sort of walk around it? And
you can do that, yes.
So that's what I'll do. Kind of wary of the birds, but...
The birds seem totally focused on this machine. And
I get one success to comprehend.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the machine, It's obviously attracting birds for somehow. You know. You don't really know, but it seems to be like a beacon that birds are drawn to.
Mm-hmm. The bird feeders are reasonably full. They haven't run out of food.
No, they haven't run out of food.
So somebody's topping these bird feeders up.
So as you're coming around here, and you're still over here, Tony, this door flies open, and a man, really battered and beaten up, and got quite a lot of little pecks on him, wearing a really dirty, but otherwise what had been a white lab coat and white trousers, comes out waving a wrench in his hand, shouting at you, "Get out of here, or I'm going to kill both of you! Get out of my ship! Get out!"
Do we recognise this guy? Is it Gunnar?
You do recognise it as Gunnar. His hair and beard are really unkempt. His eyes are glazed over with a what looks like a pretty insane stare.
Right, I'm going to try and lie to him. I'm going to try and say, Mr. Granite, we've come with a message from your niece, Mason. And what is that? Is that a charm or empathize? Empathize. Right. Yes. Well. It's a charm, I think, to begin with, but I might try and emphasize later on.
Okay, one other thing that you notice before you get there. This is a storeroom.
Yeah.
There is quite a lot of natural light in here.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously some
sort of skylight
gap in there, or a skylight or something. And you can hear that, you know, through and up in that room, the very loud squawks and flutterings of
some bigger
birds. Big bird. Quite close.
Anyway, I'm trying charm, which is just heart.
Okay, yep.
I'm saying, I'm going to risk this one. I'm going to say, I'm a really big fan of Lena's work. No, that didn't work.
Okay, this is telling me that this should be handled as an extended trouble.
Ooh, extended trouble. Extended trouble.
Which is handled slightly differently. So we set the stakes. What will happen if you fail? I know you could get pecked a lot. This bird threat might continue, get worse.
Does it not say in the scenario what would happen if you fail? Given that it suggested it should be an extended trouble.
Nope. It says what the threat level is. The threat level is hard if you failed your sneak rolls, which you did. So the threat level is twice the number of kids is normal, three times the number of kids is hard. So the threat level is 6. Make a plan. What's your plan, guys? The kids decide what they want to do. Agree on which skill each one will use and in what order they will then act to make their role. The kids get to choose which skills to use, but the Game Master can disallow any unreasonable ones.
Okay. So, how good is your empathise?
5 dice.
As is mine. How good is your charm?
Same.
Ah, right. Okay. So, I empathise and then you charm.
Yeah, we need to try and talk him around.
We've got to try and talk him down.
Can't shoot him.
Because the stakes is getting chased off the ship and possibly broken. That's what we're doing. And we need to stay on the ship and solve the mystery. So we need to get to him. So when you say 6 things, does that mean that we've got to use 6 skills to defeat the threat level?
Of 6 actually means.
So, so you make a plan.
Yeah.
You then play the scene, so each kid gets a scene to act and roll for their chosen skill. Successes go towards reaching the threat level, but can also be used for bonus effects. If there is time, kid may roll for lead to create a dice pool. Okay, instead of adding towards the threat. So if there were five players or something and one of you wanted to do lead your action, then you could to create a dice pool for the others. Outcome. Each kid rolls once, pushing rolls if they want to, and when all the scenes are over, the number of sixes is compared to the threat level. If the final sum of sixes are less than half, the kids have failed completely. So if you only get three.
Yeah. Or less than three.
Yep.
Less than
three. If the number of successes reaches half or more, the kids can check additional conditions to get more sixes in order to reach the compromise. Each additional condition counts as an extra success. You can break yourselves to succeed if you want to. If the kids reach the threat level this way, they will achieve part of their goal. If the kids reach the threat level without checking extra conditions, the kids achieve their goal and overcome the trouble. So basically, you need to choose what your plan is. You then roll your dice and you need to get between you six successes. Or at least four successes.
At least four successes. Well, we can do that on four dice, can't we?
And your intention of your outcome here is?
Well, to calm him down.
And get him to turn off his machine.
And in theory, well, get him first of all to tell us what the machine
does. What's actually going on.
Yeah. Not necessarily turn it off. It might be a good idea, for all we know. But he needs to be aware of some of the effects it's having and some of the people that are injured. That, for a start, we can mention his niece was injured.
Yeah, okay, yep. But the outcome is to talk him down and stop him threatening you.
So,
and listen to what's going on.
Yeah.
Listen to what you've got to say. Okay.
So I'm going to show him my sketchbook and say, look, you know, we've been noticing birds, and I'll make sure he sees a picture of Lena. And this is an improvise where I'm looking to...
Let's work out what you're actually going to do and how many dice you've got to roll before you roll it first, and then we'll do the same for Tone.
Okay. So I'm basically looking for... what is his weak spot? Can I make him do something? Well, for every... if I succeed, I get to ask two questions, like, what is his weak spot? How can I make him do something? What does he feel? What does he want? What will she do? Is she lying? And if I get... Take plus die and what's it? Okay, well, this is interesting. Ask if I get bonuses on that one, then I ask additional questions and take plus one die on one roll when you use the information. Okay. So we'll try and find out what he wants, and then Tony will try and say the right thing.
Okay, I think in the extended trouble situation, that bonus effect doesn't help you.
Right. Okay.
Because if you're using a success to give him an extra dice, which he might not get a success on, you might as well keep the success and add it to your total.
I'm looking to get two questions out of him by rolling successful improvise, which will then hopefully give Tony the knowledge of the right thing to say to charm him and persuade him that we're on his side and he doesn't need to chase us off the boat.
Okay. So in terms of dice, so you get your empathise skill, your mind skill.
Yeah.
And plus two for showing him your book.
Showing him a sketchbook. Yes. So that's 5, 6, 7.
Okay. And then Tone, you're doing charm.
I'm doing charm.
Yep.
Just to try and...
Based on what we've learned,
get him to understand the consequences of what he's doing and to try and get him to...
And we're not here to stop his work.
I guess it's some kind of...
Yes, and I think to try and tell him that his daughter's been injured by the birds.
And to make him realise that the effect he's having.
Niece.
Yep. Okay.
Maybe what he's doing.
And the number of dice that you get there?
For me, it's charm, which is 5 dice.
Plus, do you want to use the 2 that I got from?
I think I probably should. This is probably the time to.
So that gives you 7 dice as well. Okay. And then, in the event that you don't get enough, you can then take conditions to to earn more successes.
Assuming you can still use luck points to reroll.
Yep.
So is a condition an extra dice, or is it a reroll?
It says a condition is an extra success.
Right.
An extra success.
Cool.
But if you use conditions, you can't get the full success.
You can only get...
You only get full success if you succeed on just rolling the dice. If you use conditions, you don't get a complete fail. You get a partial success.
Okay.
And with using luck points, presumably I can only use luck points to reroll once on a particular...
Yes, I think that is right.
I couldn't use them both and like keep rerolling.
I don't think so, no.
But how many luck points you got left?
Two.
All right.
You cannot spend more than one luck point on a single die roll. Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, so you need to get six successes to win outright. Or three to get a partial success. Going on your die rolls so far, you will do this easily.
I'll just chime in with one empathy.
Don't need to bother with your tone. Matt's got it in hand.
One success.
Okay. So do you want to push?
I've got a luck point, and I feel we're getting to the climactic point, so I'll re-roll.
Or bar the one, yeah.
Three successes.
Three more?
Yeah.
Three in total. Okay, halfway there.
But also, you know, so do I get any hint of what he wants? I get two questions, I think.
Yeah, okay, yeah, let's play this out, absolutely.
So I show him the thing and, you know, and say, look, we're friends. I'm really good friends with Mason, and we've got Matt, you know, we've been to visit Matt Tinkpad. We're just interested in the birds. What's your interest? Are you here for the birds, or?
I'm here. I'm doing what Lena wants me to. I'm gonna.
What, this Lena?
I'm gonna impress. I'm gonna impress. Yeah, I'm gonna make her love me by doing what she wants.
Well, all right. Make love you. She means she's not here with you. I thought she was working with you here.
No, she's gone.
Where'd she go?
That was two questions.
Okay.
And he's still like, you know, kind of showing in the picture of of my center's made him pause for the moment. You can still hear the bird coming through.
Mm.
Big flapping wings and loud screechings. The tone.
Yeah, but what you're doing, it's people are being hurt. Mason has been attacked by these birds and injured. We've been attacked. It says Matt's Tingler. People's pets have been killed. It's only a matter of time before people start being killed. You've really got to just stop and take a step back and think about what you're doing and the consequences of it to the people that you love.
Okay. He's like torn and doesn't know what to do.
Back to normal. No successes. Okay, I'm a...
Use your luck.
Three successes. I did use my luck. Used it well. Just building the tension there. I'm not getting any successes first time.
God, 666, for God's sake. Not that I'm in this for you guys to have a bad time.
but it feels like you are.
Just a nice bonus, if that's the case. Like I said, Gunnar kind of stops in his tracks and sort of looks through the insanity in his eyes. You can see there's a glimmer of sanity left back in there somewhere, and you've obviously got through to him, and he sort of feels, Mason's been hurt. I'm hurting people. What? This isn't supposed to happen like this. And he falls to his knees and starts to cry, in effect, sort of starts to break down. And then, it's not what I wanted. I don't want it. I don't love me.
But how... What were you doing? What... This is.
You can see the bird now appears in your view and is coming towards this door.
Can we shut that door?
And is it, you can make a move roll to what, shut that door.
What size bird is it?
It's a goshawk, which is
quite large. That she mentioned.
Yeah, the big boss bird. I am going to try and shut the door. Move, yes?
Yeah.
I fail to do so. Is it worth?
You can. I can possibly. Use your last luck on this one.
My last luck point. Try it again. No. Oh, my luck's run out.
Okay. You run, you get to the door and you're kind of pushing it, but it's not moving. Matt, you can have a force roll.
Okay, I will come and help with a force roll.
Are you out of luck?
I am out of luck.
He is out of
luck. Ah! And the bird, like... You know, we try to close the door, and the bird is...
It's trying to come through and peck at your
hands. Yeah, it's pecking at me, so I'll take an injured.
An injury, yeah.
And take a dice off now.
No, I think you get the full dice this time, and from then on.
Future dice, okay. Yes, one success.
Bang! Slam! And the door shuts.
I said, what's with the goshawk? He's vicious.
It's the chips made him that way. He reaches out, and you can see on the side of the generator here, there's a big sort of power handle thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, pull that, before he collapses into a crying...
Damn, message. Why didn't I notice the big off switch when I was comprehending this machine?
Oh,
like
this switch? She switched with off and exit.
Yes. I just made that up at the last moment for a dramatic end of the movie. Come on, guys. This machine powers down, the hum goes off. All the birds that were sort of attracted to it are, you know, they're all full from eating, you know, eating as much as they can. And they all fly away. And Gunnar lies on the deck, curled up in a ball, crying.
Right. Do we get an understanding of exactly what he was doing? What Lena was doing? Putting chips in people's heads. In birds' heads.
Presumably... You're alerting some adults to this.
Well, I'm just wondering. So we got our full success.
You're not going to get any more information out of him.
And we're not going to get anything more out of him. No, that's what I was.
He's completely broken down. Yeah.
So, I say, well, you know, we've got to get somebody to look after him. He's hardly eaten. Can we call an ambulance or on this? On this island, is this all Loop Island, or is there a community as well?
There is a community as well.
Lona.
And that's inside the.
But that's
the
inside
Loop boundary.
Sidport. There's Port. Where we came from.
Yeah, and you'd be able to find a phone box somewhere to call for help or get help.
Let's phone somebody at Port.
Yeah.
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 So. Should one of us stay here with him and the other one go to the phone box? Make sure he doesn't turn the machine on again.
Yeah, you can do that. Absolutely.
Okay, do you want to stay? Do you want to? I'll go and make a phone call.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool, yeah.
Is the instrument of goshawk anymore?
You can see it, but it's high up in the sky. It seems to have flown off.
Do you think it'll just turn back into a normal?
As with a lot of the other birds,
it's been turned off.
Flown off now that the device is off, yeah.
So I'll pump back to shore, head for that.
Head for port?
Head for port.
Yeah, okay. You can alert the authorities. Who are you? Are you ambulance or police?
Well, I'll put it to ambulance. At this point, I'm sure I want to try and explain to the police about army of killer cybernetic birds.
Let's just go with the ambulance about
an ambulance.
A man with injuries.
This man's injured on the blade.
Okay, yeah. Police arrive as well. And the ambulance men are going in and retrieving Gunnar. The police are asking, Sonny, why are you over here? It's dangerous over here for young kids. You should stay near the home.
Yes. Sorry, officer.
It's my bird watching. I put out my stolen Mats Tingblad book. I said,
I haven't had a report of a break-in at the library and theft of a Mats Tingblad book.
Well, it's not this one. Look, it's not got any library page in it. I said, yeah, there was talk of loads of birds over here. And as you can see, there obviously have been. But we know. And then I say, since my parents abandoned me and I have to live with my grandma,
Grandma, who you live with.
Yeah, my grandma, with whom I live.
You're not going to forget that.
I cannot remember that. I watched all of Not When I Got News. I can't remember that sketch. So I'll just do a bit of a sob story that might make him forgive us. And not charge us with anything.
Yeah, the police aren't going to charge you with anything. You get a ticking off for having been in a dangerous place, but well done, kids, because this man could have... Who knows what would have happened to him if he hadn't stumbled across him.
Yeah, there's another madman living in his house up here. He's surrounded by a bunch of birds. Actually...
They've probably all calmed down now as well.
Yeah, can we go and check them out and see how Matt's doing?
Yeah, you can.
A bit, obviously... Not today, as it were.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. You can swing by Matt's house, and yeah, it hasn't really been cleaned up very much. There aren't any birds here anymore. I think all the birds he didn't manage to kill managed to escape and fly away. He's still very wary. He's not really opening the door to you, though. He will talk through the letterbox. He's sort of talking about, yeah, the birds are, they know we're onto them, so they're cunning, they're doing a different plan now, they're not going to attack now because they know we'll stop them. But.
Now, we'll tell him, because he was suspicious of Gunnar, wasn't he? And we'll say, Gunnar Granat and a woman called Lena were doing some sort of experiment, and I don't understand it in the way that you would, Mr. Tingblat. I'm sure you're cleverer than I am, but it was making the birds go crazy, but it's all over now.
Is there a Lena? Do you mean Lena? Lena.
Oh, Lena. Lena.
Lena Thalin. Do you mean Lena Thalin?
Lena Thalin. I write that down in my sketchbook.
Yep.
If she's a genius scientist, Lena, then yes.
Yeah, she used to work for Rix Energy, which is
the guys behind the loop.
Yeah. What runs the loop? But yeah, I hadn't heard about her for ages. She left. There was all that scandal about her and she left.
Is that Rix Energy? I imagined it was Rikes because I thought that must be State Energy or something.
It is State Energy, I think, yeah.
So is it not,
I'm not
pronounced
sure
Rikes like in Third Reich? I mean, obviously not like in the Third Reich, but...
Third Reich's Energy. I don't know. I'll ask Jenny. Mm.
Anyway, so so he was. I think he might have been in love with her.
Poor fool. Women and birds—the two things you shouldn't mess with.
No, no.
That's about the last thing.
Particularly the two-legged variety. No, it doesn't work, does it? But it was a joke they used to say in the '80s, isn't it?
That's why they left it in the '80s.
And also pop in on Marson and say, tell her the state we found her uncle and that He's in hospital, but he might be coming home soon.
Yeah, okay. That's, yeah, she's, you know, she's, well, you know, it's his house after all. If he wants to come back, there's some, you know.
You know, well, we've got this, like, garage that we hang out in, if you want a place to be private.
Okay. That sounds creepy.
Well, we've got, like...
Yeah, we jam, you know, we're jamming. We jam in reverse.
Make a charm roll.
Come on, 3 sixes. No sixes,
okay. He's like, look, you've already asked me once.
Well, that was just a band practice. I mean,
pop, you know, thanks, I got the offer. I may well pop in.
If your uncle gets too much, just, you know,
should we go back to the ship and dismantle the machine in case?
So there's quite a lot of activity there, you know, beyond just...
Yeah, I've got a sneaking suspicion. If we go back to the machine, we'll see a bunch of yellow tape around it and people in hazmat suits taking things to bits, aren't we? But...
Well, you have to go back and have a look.
Let's go back and have a look.
Just for the shot of the people in the hazmat suits taking it all to bits.
there's no people in hazmat suits, but there's no ship either.
Take it away.
Cool. Okay. Are we done?
Well, we have one blast.
One last scene.
Scene from everyday life. With or without trouble, the player may choose a scene or ask the game master to set one up.
The players choose one scene of both of us or a scene each?
It would be a scene each normally, but I'm happy for it to be a scene with both of you. If you can't think of one, I can...
You know, without trouble, I've got a scene. No, I've got a scene. Okay, cool. So this is just... Well, you do your scene first, because my scene's going to be a silent single shot, actually.
A silent single shot?
Yeah. Wait. You'll find out more. You do your scene.
Sure, I've got one yet. I was going to go home. Can't see my sister.
Okay.
Try and... be empathetic about her cat. Can't say.
Okay, you get quite back and your mum and Amanda are sitting on the sofa, both looking really quite cheerful and happy. And in each of their lap is a little ginger kitten.
I knew that was happening.
Did you?
No, I didn't know that. As soon as he started saying happy, I knew there was going to be...
going to be a kitten involved somewhere.
So, lots of kittens. I'm sure these ones will be safe.
We've defeated the bird army, you mean?
Yeah.
But you're not going to tell them we defeated the bird army, are you?
Defeated the bird army. But I'm sure whatever.
So Amanda says, this one's called Tabby, but we haven't thought of a name for the other one. What did you want? What should we call it, Martin?
Lena.
Hang on. Give me a dice. 1, 2, 3. It's a boy. It's a boy cat.
Gunnar.
That's a good rubbish name for a kitten.
It's a. When he'll grow up into a cat, won't he?
Make a charm roll, Tane.
That's a stupid name for a cat. We're going to call him Tiddles.
I'm going to roll it again, and I'm giving you upset. And she goes, you chose the name. You asked me for a name, and I chose Gunnar. I like it. And then your mum says, okay, no, Gunnar. It's a lovely name for a little cat. Yeah, so Gunnar it is.
Right, I'm back home with Grandma.
With whom you live.
With whom I live. And
I'm going to play this game a lot now, just so I can keep going with whom you live, who you live with.
And I'm like, I think Grandpa died before I knew him, but she's got a bunch of his stuff, and I'm going through his stuff in these couple of boxes. Grandma comes and asks me what I'm looking for, and I say, I'm looking for his old binoculars. He said he had a pair of binoculars.
Oh, he did, yeah. They must be in this stuff somewhere. If not, they might be in the loft.
What, in the loft of our block of flats?
And roof space, yeah. In storage, then.
Top flat.
Top flat, yeah.
We lived in the top floor before. We had the loft.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to look for a pair of binoculars.
So funny, was it, mate?
Is that an investigate roll, or
you're looking for the binoculars? Yeah, okay, have an investigate roll.
And I discover them, old and dusty.
Yeah, big old binoculars. Sort of 1940s, excellent, robust, chunky binoculars that
That he used during the war.
He would have done if Sweden had fought in the war, but they didn't. So.
Oh, right, that he didn't use during the war.
He didn't use.
Or he might
didn't
have used looking at the war from Sweden.
Long way away. I guess, I mean, Sweden might well have done things like...
of course, yes, because they were doing all the Red Cross parcels and stuff like that, weren't they?
They remained neutral, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess they weren't certain that the Nazis wouldn't invade, or the Russians, so maybe he used them to watch the coast.
Oh, well, the Russians a bit on the north. Finland was full of Nazis.
Yeah, Finland.
The Nazis had helped Finland declare independence from Russia, I think.
So Russia attacked Finland...
No. Well, I think this is world dodgy, and any Scandinavians listening, feel free to collect us. But I think Finland
not collect us.
Had been
collect us as well as, you know, take us to a nice pub or something. But you know,
but I think Finland had been a kind of Russian dominion for years.
For about it was 20 years before the Second World War.
There'd been a bit of a civil war, and they'd kicked the Russians out, and then. Or they hadn't quite kicked the Russians out, but then with the help of pre-war Nazi Germany, they did. I only say that because Tove Jansson was a communist, but her dad was a fascist.
Okay.
Because of... anyway, that's by the way. So anyway, these old wartime binoculars, whether or not they were used in any war or conflict at all...
But they are.
Slightly.
He might have used them on the ship where he was taking Red Cross parcels to different places. Anyway, so I then go there and I say, oh, thanks, Grandma. Can I borrow them? And she kind of says, yeah, what are you doing? And as I go out the front door, I'm going bird watching.
Roll end credits.
With my book. End credits.
Cool. Excellent. Good.
Cool. I like that. Yeah, I kind of want to play the rest of the campaign now.
I'll form more scenarios in here. Cool.
That was good. Yeah.
Impressions, thoughts?
So my first impressions are, well, there's two slightly conflicting impressions. One is you didn't roll the dice much at all.
I didn't roll it once, other than deciding what sex the cat was.
These were is a fundamental difference here that the rule book says, because I've got the rule book but I haven't read it yet, that this is more player-facing than other forms of Zero Engine.
Yeah, I think it is. It doesn't so explicitly...
It doesn't say it explicitly.
Doesn't explicitly say that as it does for Simbaroon. But there is no... It does specifically say, don't roll dice for NPCs, just narrate what happens.
Right.
There is no dice rolling for me.
And our dice rolls are meant to generate the trouble that... NPC might have, isn't it? Like,
yes.
So if we fail on our dice roll and get injured or whatever, that's instead of us failing on our dice roll and no effect happens, and then you rolling on somebody else's, on a GMC's character's dice roll, and then they injure us, isn't it?
Yes.
So it is, I think. You know, they've adapted it to be more player-facing than other versions. What about, well, Mutant Year Zero?
Yeah, no, it's certainly more player-facing than Mutant Year Zero, yeah.
And definitely more player-facing. So I like that, and I like how versatile the system is.
Yeah, I like actually the fact that there's no combat, and in fact there's no real prospect of there being combat, which kind of does make it different how you approach things. So when we went into that ship at the end and the crazy guy came through with the wrench, in other games you would think, actually, this is likely to end up in us fighting him, but this actually is not going to be a possible outcome.
No. Because we're 11.
Because we're 11 and 13 years old and we haven't got weapons.
Yeah, if it was going to end up in a fight, you'd end up with you running away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I quite like the fact that it's, actually, I'm not sure how we're going to resolve this.
Okay, yeah.
And actually, fundamentally, I think it makes it quite easy to work out how we're going to resolve stuff, because we're either going to run away
or
we're going to engage them in conversation, aren't we?
Or find some easy way of pulling them into a trap or something you might have laid, or, you know.
Now, I'd like to have read the skills beforehand more and done stuff like take leadership. You know, I just took leadership because I thought, well, we'd already decided I was the oldest, so I thought I'd probably get ought to have a lot of leadership. But I didn't really understand how it worked. Now I understand how it worked. I'd have probably, well, I could only still have one because it's not a what's it skill, but I might have rearranged.
You'd have used it more.
Once you play, you realise what things are most useful. So comprehend and investigate, I didn't take at all, but actually used them a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, I was kind of using investigate as a substitute for observation or something similar.
But there's another thing, that's what I was going to say about the mystery element. Because it's player-facing, and there's nothing to stymie us apart from us not working out the clues, I think generally, you know, it doesn't have a spot hidden skill, because actually you're meant to narrate what we find. As long as we say we're looking for something, generally you probably shouldn't make us then make a dice roll to see whether we find it. You should just say, well, you look.
Yeah.
Unless of course there's an element of risk or trouble around what we're looking for. Yeah, like, you know, do we get buried in a tunnel having found the treasure or whatever, you know, and then have to find another way out or whatever.
It's an interesting one because, for example, when I made you do a investigate roll when you were riding down to the library and so when you rode back again, both of which failed, I only did that. That was something I could have narrated, actually, because all I was going to do was have you spot more dead birds than normal. Just to
add the atmosphere and build the tension. So that's interesting.
I should have just done that anyway.
Yeah, you should, shouldn't you? Why bother? You should have, because you wanted to do that to build the tension.
Yeah. But then actually rolling a dice roll when you've been asked to do an observation and then not knowing what you've missed can add to the tension as well.
Yeah. So
there is a balance. Maybe sometimes you would roll a dice and other times would you just narrate.
Yeah, I think there's times we'd roll a dice, but
get the best of both worlds.
There might actually be an impact. You know, is that thing about because none of your GMCs are rolling dice? It's almost like saying this will define the behaviour of that GMC.
Yeah.
So it may well be that you'd roll a dice if you thought, well, what would, like when Mason was actually watching us.
Yeah.
What would she do? Let him roll a investigate to see whether he spots her. And if he succeeds, maybe she'll come across and talk to us. And if he fails, maybe she'll run away.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there were a couple of things in here. Because it's a written scenario, and I only read it through once, and I can't remember the last time I did run a written scenario.
No.
30 years, probably.
Crikey.
I almost never do it, because I always prefer to do my own stuff. So there are things that I... errors that I made in that, one of which was, if you got attacked by the birds at the nest, she was supposed to come and help you with her dog.
Ah!
And then she says, come back to my house and then clean up. So I kind of missed out on that. The other point, which is only a bit of sort of colour, is she's obviously hiding out there. I'm not sure in the background whether actually Gunnar was there when she came back or not.
Right, whether
she's run away from Stockholm. But she's hiding in that house rather than living in it openly. And I kind of had it played out that she was living in it
openly. She'd have a bike out, yeah.
Because I missed that bit and I came to it and thought, well, actually, when you get there, you're supposed to break in to try and find her or try and find your way in. Her dog then comes out and challenges you. And then she'll challenge you.
But you see, that's an interesting thing. Because, you know, by sheer coincidence, I'd had her as an NPC contact.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a little bit of... I don't know, a little bit of tension there between them saying, oh, here is a mysterious woman hiding in a house.
And her being your mate.
here is somebody you know.
Yeah.
And you don't know where she lives or
well,
whatever.
I don't think that's so bad.
But yeah, that's an interesting one because you talked about her maybe, you know, coming to rescue us with the dogs. One of the reasons why I didn't move and was prepared to be broken is I thought there can't be just the option to run away. Something else, I thought something else was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, but fine. You know, it was great. It played out.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, that.
I was determined to be broken, but I was determined to be broken because I thought something else is going to happen. Surely there's got to be another option than simply running away.
Yeah. Well, like, there wasn't at that point because you'd actually learned everything that you were going to learn from the nest.
Except there was.
She
could have rescued me with
the dogs.
I might still have been broken, but...
As soon as she went away and I realised that actually she should have probably come and helped you, it was quite easy because I deliberately didn't want... I wanted to make you make a roll to see whether you recognised who it was.
Yeah.
And I'd already worked out in my mind, because they don't mention it in here, about her bike being bright pink.
Cool.
But actually, you know her bike is bright pink, so if you would have recognised the bike rather than her, going, oh, that's my bike. But then having done that, that gave me a really good way, with some good rolls for you to follow the tracks.
Mm. Oh, no, I didn't, as I say, I had no problem at all with
how the tracks are.
Yeah.
God, how the hell are we going to find a pink bike? I was there.
No, I like that, because that would be just like...
In Stranger Things TV. Episode,
Oh, no, tarmac! How are we going to find the bike now? What, that bike over there?
Exactly, yeah. So that worked quite well.
Cool, yeah. It worked very well. I like it. And I just, again, I like the way this system is so adaptable to very different styles of play.
Did we miss any
clues? Or?
Clues?
No, I don't think so.
You thought we would?
No. No, and again, you know, it being a written scenario and only having read it once, there are certain routes you can take to get to particular clues, and there's obviously it sets up for more than one route to get to those clues. But getting to the library, which was an entirely justifiable thing for you to do at that point when you first did it, because the book even says, well, you can either go, you know, the clues take you either to Matt's Tingblack's house or to the library, and you chose to go to the library, which is absolutely fine. But then on the information about the library, it says, you know, the first thing that it says about information is, you can find out that the Magnetrine ship with ID code yada yada was previously used to transport, or, well, you don't even know there's an Magnetrine ship at that point. You've got no idea there might even possibly be one.
No,
so I thought, okay, how do you get the clue for that? And I think the clue for that comes from the nest.
Yes.
And you could get to the nest if you followed the birds, but then you're quite a long way away from the birds. So I like the way that first bit with the birds played out, but the way I played it out, or the way you played it out, didn't really give you the opportunity to follow it to its nest.
No.
If you were ever going to follow it to its nest. And the other way of finding the nest was then going to Matt's house or to Myson's house. And then from there you can get to the nest. So I think for me, the only problem is, It's a written scenario, and obviously having read it once, I had an idea, but there were obviously points of detail that I missed, which you might have played differently.
But it's interesting that, so, I haven't read this scenario, but from what you're describing, it doesn't do what my favourite campaign, pre-written campaign ever does, which is the Dragon... Well, which is pretty much everything written for Knights Black Agents in scenario.
Yeah.
Kind of says, here are the scenes... You're probably going to start off with this scene, and here as a choice of capstone scenes at the end where, you know, different conclusions happen. But the other scenes you can play in pretty much any order, and they're really carefully written to say, you know, this one can be led into from this scene and this scene and this scene, and it can lead on to this scene and this scene and this scene.
Yeah.
But nothing has that thing where,
you know,
why am I finding out about, you know, or rather, if it had said a thing, it would say, you know, you noticed the school project you did on shipping or something that's got that boat in it in a way that would, you know, that would just remind you about the name of that boat. So they're my favourite detective stories because they work out really well on.
So I think it was, you know, not wanting to be a bit critical, I'm not sure it's the greatest scenario ever. It seemed to play out pretty well. I think a lot of the pleasure, I think, in this game is not so much the actual scenario itself, it's the colour around it and the character bits around it, like, you know, Grandma, who I live with, and, you know, all these other little bits and bits.
And it's good as well when we fail to succeed and, you know, something happens because of our failure. I imagine it would be.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, when did that happen? Oh, the other thing I was going to mention, how do you think the extended trouble thing worked at the end?
I quite like that, I think.
To play out the final scene.
Because
basically it completely takes away the sort of blow-by-blow element that we're all very used to, but it replaces it with, as you say, a more strategic, we're going to talk him down in this way, I'm going to talk him down in this way on the back of that, and this is the number of dice we get to do it, and we either win or lose, or, you know, draw somewhere in the middle.
I mean,
how many successes you need at the start for the whole thing to do it. I think I quite like that.
Yeah.
And I think what, you know, there's...
Because that dodges the final battle kind of thing.
It's a tension device, isn't it? Mm. So, you know, there we were.
Yeah.
You know, he'd got... We were three successes short of success.
Yeah.
And he had the option to turn his luck and just do that.
Yeah.
I think, now I know that's how it plays, this is why I think, well, you definitely need to have somebody with leadership, and what we need to do is the planning scene.
Mm. Yes.
Where... We therefore needed to have a bit, ideally, I'm not saying it was a failure on your part, it might be a failure on the scenario's part, we needed to know a little bit about what we were going to discover in there. That is to say, a madman rejected by his lover, so that we could say, okay, so we're gonna sneak in, that's a set of dice rolls, you know, bloody guy can get us in there. Somebody else can confront him with, find out what he wants, and somebody else can, you know, show him the picture of his wife or whatever. And we do those things. I mean, we have a scene planning that, and then with somebody making leadership role, see whether we get an extra couple of dice on that. And then we do that thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, in the background, kind of before the scenario actually starts, in the background, it explains where Lena fits in, where Gunnar fits in, why Gunnar is doing what he's doing, how she feels about him. So it doesn't at any point say, you know, after the clues at Gunnar's house, where you find the diary, which I didn't know whether you'd picked it up or not. You know, when I just dropped it into the thing, I thought, they must pick
up. I kind of registered it at the time, but then it slipped out of my mind, so I was glad you brought it up again. Yes. Oh, yeah, actually, that's going to be quite important, isn't it?
Because so, what you could have done, and what it doesn't say stated here, is you could go back to the library and search Gunnar Granat and Lena, and then find out about Lena's departure from...
I tell you what we want to do. We want to build a bloody public library on this. Like, I'm not breaking into a bloody school every time. You want to look at...
It's quite cool. I like the fact that you had to do that.
Yeah.
And there's quite a bit of background.
I quite like the fact that we might do it in four scenarios.
Yeah.
They're muddling kids!
But then there are... So this also provides... So Matt, I'm banning you from reading any of the background.
Any of the background? So what?
So do not read any of chapter 7 onwards.
Okay.
I think the rest of it before that's probably okay. Yep.
So chapter 6 has got a bunch of vehicles. And...
Yeah, that's all right. That's just general background. Chapter 7 starts talking about things...
Where
things are happening and there might be some weirdness going on.
Actually, chapter 6 suggests I ought not, because that's called The Mystery. Or is that just Oh, no, that's just... Oh, that's telling us how mystery
that's
works.
That's telling you how to play it, yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't mind reading that, then. Yeah, but, so yeah,
just,
okay.
Just so don't read chapter 7 onwards. Because if I'm potentially going to play some more of this, which I'm more than happy to do, actually. I quite enjoyed that. It's a bit different. I do quite like rolling dice, even when I'm refereeing.
Yeah.
I can get over that.
Well, you're the one playing Simbaru.
I know.
So,
don't read anything beyond chapter 7 onwards, because there's stuff in chapter 7 that is I will draw upon to expand on the scenarios, which might have happened in this one if things had happened differently, but they didn't, which is fine, but I can save that for another scenario.
Cool. Shall we turn the recording off now?
Cool, I think so, yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody! Bye! The music is The Happiest Days by Three Chain Links via the Free Music Archive. Typefaces are Code by Font Fabric and I Joyed Bold by Pixel Sagas.